Peace and love. It's Rick the Negotiator.
And this is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. the Culture Referee. And welcome to the God Show. And I want to give a special shout out to our today's show sponsor, Dope Coffee. And there's some other young ladies. What's the name? I won't say the name anyway. What's the girl's name? It was some young lady, Infused Crab. They was going to sponsor the lunch for the day, but they got into a bad accident on the way over here. So I'm not going to not shout them out as a sponsor because they didn't do that. But I want to definitely shout them out. Shout out to Tone Carey, Yoko Vaca, Lareco, and Two Laws Distribution. And shout out to everybody for watching this. Now that that's out the way, you know, sometimes people give an intro and they say, we have like the GOAT, or we have the this, we have this. This guy needs an extra E on the. He needs to be called the GOAT. It ain't the GOAT. Today we have the GOAT, the person that made the word GOAT, like rap's first superstar, rap's first sex symbol, brought love songs to rap, has made, like I told him, I say, I use this guy as an example when I talk to young artists and they tell me they starving. When I meet an artist, they tell me they starving, I'm like, how hungry are you? Then they perform for me and I'm like, you ain't hungry. And I put on the LL Cool J I'm Bad video. And I said, that nigga was hungry. He was everywhere. So I tell lying, every artist on record, on this show, you can ask them, when we do the show, I'm like, you should look at LL Cool J I'm Bad video. So the fact that we have the GOAT, the motherfucking GOAT, I'm gonna try not to curse that much, but the motherfucking GOAT on this show, I just want everybody to give a large round of applause for LL Cool J.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Thank you.
And by the way, let me tell you, I know he on his shit. Because you can tell when a new guy come back, when he come back and he like, I'm here, he either gonna say, I'm gonna stay the same, or he gonna say, I'm gonna do what we need to do, because I'm that dude. And the way LL's been dressing,
yeah.
You know, men usually dress like the year that they was the hottest. Like if 95 was their year, they still dress like 95.
90s. Yep.
And you in this
mean. Avirex, Avirex shit is mean.
No, you ain't got to talk about it. You in this motherfucker sauce the fuck up. So I just want to tell you, thank you, man. Yeah. Thank you for coming on the show, brother.
I'm happy to be here, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's all great.
Brother, we were talking, man, and you know, like, this is probably the biggest interview. This is the biggest interview I ever done. This is the interview that my mother heard about.
Oh, wow.
Why the hell you ain't tell me you was interviewing on damn LL Cool J? I would have came down for that. I'm like, Ma, you don't need to come see me. You ain't LL Cool J, right? You know what I'm saying? So this is one of the biggest ones, man. So I want to ask you, like, you have survived. I don't want to use the word survive. You were the rap's first superstar, so you actually was in the era with Run DMC, Rakim, Big Daddy Kane, right? Mm-hmm. Then you go on a run in the era against Jay, X, Ja Rule, all these guys in the 90s. Mm-hmm. And then you go into the era of the 2000s where you making hits, where you competing against the Nellies and all these people of the world. No, seriously, you had an illustrious career, but I always want to ask you, because we are still black from the hood, right? So we don't know that hip hop is going to take it this far.
Right.
Were you playing survivor or were you thriving? Like, was it like, I'm going to do what I got to do? Or was it like intent, how you pivoted every time you pivoted to make the moves you did?
First of all, thank you for the intro. And the young ladies who had the accident, Infused Crab, much love.
Yes.
Wish you success in your business.
Thank you.
I'm just doing what I love.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like, the thing is, like, yo, you gotta love it. You know what I'm saying? Because when you really, really love something, you know what I'm saying? You keep going. You know what I'm saying? And I just always felt like, you know, I was born to do this. You know, you gotta remember, man, like, I became a fan of hip hop maybe 8 years old, right? So I heard everything before they was making records.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like Flash, Treacherous, like all of the things you could think of, you know, Fearless, like all of Force MCs, Cold Crush, right? Then at 11 or 12, I started writing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So by the time I was 14, you know, I was looking to make a demo, and then I became professional at 16. Mm. So this is all I've ever known. It's like kids that box. It's like when you hear Floyd box or Javante box, or you hear these guys or these ball players, they talk about how they... So I've really been doing this since I was 8 years old. Like, so it's not unnatural for me to perform at any point. You know what I'm saying? By performing, I mean contribute artistically at any point. The question becomes how, like, when I make a project, when I make a song, right, I'm thinking about how can I move it forward?
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but the goal is always to move it forward. It's never to follow.
Yeah.
I'm not looking like, I didn't, like this new album, The Force, like I didn't create this album thinking about how I could sound. Like there's a lot of talented artists out there from Lil Baby to Gunna to, I mean, you name it, from Future, who's a little older than them, to whoever you want to name, right? I made this to do some new shit.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's how I think about it. So it's thriving.
Kyle, about to say, because the thing about you that was always interesting is that you always, like, in order to win, and I know this as someone who's been in the music business 20 years, even being in the content, I mean, the podcast world for 2 years, the one thing you can't do is you can't get caught up in the hype.
No.
You can't buy into the, and I was watching your interview, and I'm like, I feel like I was watching, and it was like, you were someone who knew they were born to be an MC and said, I'm going to do everything I can to honor that space.
You gotta
right?
honor it.
Yeah, but some rappers was looking at themselves as like brands, right? You came to me from the school of like, fuck the brand is, did that nigga eat me alive on that record? Cause then that was you always came up like the rapper. Yeah.
Let me tell you something, bro. You can look great in your basketball uniform, nigga, but you gotta dunk that shit, man. You gotta drop some. You gotta put some points on the board. You look great in the uniform. Ooh, he spins it on his finger. Yeah. Impressive. Yeah. Like, you know, like you gotta, so that's the thing. So, and you know, I learned early on, like I would go up to like some different guys, I'm not gonna say their names, but just say hello to somebody, and the way they would respond to me, there would be like a like condescension or a little bit of, you know, arrogance, which is different from confidence, right?
Yes.
Hit me with the arrogance. And it always just reminded me of how not to be.
Yes.
It was like a reminder.
Yeah.
It's like a no asshole policy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But be you.
Yeah.
But just, you know, so yeah, man, just, you know, you just gotta do what you love, man. If you love it and if you care about it, you could do it. Like, the thing is, do you care enough to go back to school?
Mm.
Do you care enough to, like with me, like with this project, I didn't just assume that I could just start where I left off. I actually went, taught myself how to rap again, listened to everything, really studied, really looked at the way songwriting has evolved and the way writing rhymes and hip hop songs has evolved, and really looked at the landscape and what's going on.
Yeah.
Because you got to remember, no matter what I accomplish, like I said this on another interview, but it's true. Like, Tim Hardaway had one crossover, but then when you look at Kyrie's handles, it definitely evolves. So you have to, and the same is taking place with hip hop.
Yeah.
So I can't just say, oh, because I've been rhyming since since rhyming was rhyming, that, you know, I have nothing to learn.
Yeah.
And I can't learn nothing from this kid, or I can't learn, because I watch everybody.
Yeah.
And I listen to everything, and I let that kind of feed my spirit. You dig what I'm saying? So that's part of it too.
Yeah.
You know, because a lot of times that, you know, that I'm an expert mentality, I have you twisted.
It will.
You know what I'm saying?
It has you forgetting that you still got to play.
100%. And one other thing I'll add to that is the only thing that, like me, if I'm 16, if I'm 19, the only thing I care about is when I press play if I like that shit.
Mm.
Like, do I like it or not? Because all that Wikipedia and your Google and your resume is extensive and your platinum and the words you made up, I don't give a damn. Like, is it hot?
Yeah.
Right.
Is it hot? You know what I'm saying? Because that's how I was. So, and that's how I am. So,
I was, so when I was on my way over here, you know, I was born in New York. I lived until I was 12, but I was thinking about you on the way over here. And I'm thinking about, like, what you meant to me, right? What you meant to our culture. And to me, I feel like, I'm gonna give you a comparison to see how you feel. I feel like you are Hulk Hogan of wrestling, right? Like, first global star, like, cause
I just don't want to have them draws.
I got
on,
you.
Though.
I got you.
Brother. No, but this new album, brother. No, but,
hey, you should use it on your promo, by the way. That shit worked.
Moose knuckle. Exactly. You know, brother.
So I was like, you was like, when I mean by Hulk, I'm gonna tell you what I mean. Like, Hulk Hogan came up in an area where in wrestling you were a good character or a bad character.
Yes.
Like, you either was a good guy, or you was a bad guy, and the bad guy was just bad, right?
Yep.
And then you get to the 90s, right? And now you have characters that we like as good guys, but they kind of are like bad guys. Now,
anti-heroes, what made me say like that Tony Soprano.
Exactly. So what made me say that about you was that when I look at the I'm Bad video, you came out in the era and you also came up in the streets. So you knew about Supreme Team, you knew Al pulling them in the streets, but you still, when you did the I'm Bad video, it was still anti-drugs.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was real hero shit. Yeah. It was like, I'm fighting the bad guys. I'm a good guy. And then in the 90s, now the drug dealers are rapping.
Yeah.
So now you like the good guy rapping, and now the guys that.
Yeah.
It's like we did a reverse. And how do you feel about that? Did you notice that?
Well, what I would say is this. The reason why I was very comfortable doing the anti or rap or being a good guy is because I hung with bad guys every day, bro.
Oh.
And, you know, like, when you really got to live that life, You want to be as far, like, don't nobody who's really doing that want to do that.
Yeah.
If they could find another way to do it, believe me, man.
Yeah.
They would have 900 laundromats.
Yep.
Believe me.
Right now.
Like, I promise you.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? There are very few. There's a couple every now and then who are just pure devil, right?
Yeah.
But other than the pure devil dude who's just like, you know what I mean? The majority,
yeah,
they don't even want to be doing that.
Yeah.
It's just an opportunity to not work at a fast food joint.
Yes. Or, you know, or what I mean? Look cool at work.
Well, to have money.
Yes.
To live. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Right? And so because of that, I was always very comfortable with, you know, being polite, you know what I'm saying? Having manners when I'm moving around. Because I, you know, being around dudes like that every single day, you learn that it's better to move with manners and it's better to be, you know, because if you notice, the guys in your community that are the true OGs that really are running the joint, they're very polite and honorable. And you'd be like, I don't think you should talk to him like that, right? Like, this is what you learn.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you see what I'm saying? So that's why in my music, I could do I Need Love. I could do these songs. I could do things that seem very kind of clean, because I have no insecurities about that, because I know the kind of guys I'm with every day.
Yeah.
So it was a different time in that regard, because people really didn't talk about certain things.
Yes.
Right?
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, exactly.
So it was like, you know,
it was like in the underworld for real.
Bro.
Yes.
Like, you know, we're not going to talk about that.
Yeah.
That's, you know, that's a different part of our world.
Yeah.
We know what happened.
Yeah.
And we're just going to keep it there.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so that's kind of why. So when I saw it, that transition, I understood it.
Yeah.
I understood the element. I knew that. I understood that, you know, one thing about our culture.
Yep.
And, you know, let's keep it a bean. Like, one thing about black people, if they smell some cash.
Oh, man, we doing whatever it takes.
Bro, yo, it's like ants on honey. Like, you leave a piece of candy in the summertime in the backyard, and you go away for 2 minutes. You come back, them joints is all over it.
Yep.
Like, yo.
Yep.
Yo. Rappers getting money, huh?
Yeah.
Yo, Al, that shit doing good, huh?
Yeah.
Show good? Yeah. Yo, listen. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, you do lollipop, he want lollipip.
Yep.
Y'all got the lollipip now.
Yeah, exactly.
You
know, exactly.
Like, remember the Heartbeats? He said Motown? Well, yeah. Fro-town. It's like a lot.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what so that's the, that's, so I never really begrudged. I understood it. I got it.
Yeah, you but you also could have said, It's like when you're at the party and you look around, you're like, oh, my people ain't here no more. This is some new shit. You could have also said, I'm done, but you was like, nah, I'm about to show. That's the MC in you. That's the competitive
well,
that's you never went away.
The difference is that for me, I never did it. Like, I always wanted money, but I also truly, truly loved hip hop and rhyming and MCing. So like, a kid wants the NBA contract and he dreams of that, but some of them really, really, really love ball.
Yes.
He's not just tall.
Yeah.
He's not just 6'4".
Yeah.
He's not just 6'9". He's not just whatever.
Yeah.
He really loves
love
it.
This shit.
So the question becomes, that's the difference.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna have the dude who's a hustler who snatches up the little kids on the block and is manages them and is in it only for the money. And you may have another who really loves it.
Yeah.
You dig what I'm saying? So, you know.
Like kind of like with Cash Money, like Lil Wayne was the one that really loved rap, right?
Yes, he definitely loved it. I don't know. I can't judge how much, but I'll tell you, I really respect like how they move. You know what I'm saying? Like I love, you know, the way Baby took all them kids and his brother and went in his neighborhood and basically saved their lives.
Yes.
You know, and said, you know, I'm going to get you off the street. I'm gonna, you know, and then Wayne dedicated himself to his craft, right?
Yes.
And that's why he's successful now, and that's why he's going on to become a legend in the game and somebody that's highly respected. Because he really took the craft seriously. And if you notice, he improved over the years.
That's my point. Like, he went from like little, like loud pipes, big rims.
Yeah.
And then you could tell when he knew he had the New York, the Jay-Z and them watching, madness. He kind of was like, I need to go learn how to really be an MC.
Very important.
And to me, when I see you, I see God MC. GOAT's there, but God MC, because you've never disrespected the craft.
No, you can't.
You knew what the craft did for you, and you 100%. Honored it.
100%. 100%. You got it, man. Like, you can't, like, I didn't get into it. I'm famous, and so when I walk in the room, people see me and they see a famous dude and all that, but that's by default.
Yeah.
I'm an artist, B. I'm an MC first.
Yeah.
The rest of it kind of came. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like a ball player. Like, when he walks in the room, you may see the famous guy, but mm-hmm. the reality is what the reason he's famous because he loves this.
Yes.
He does this. That's what I am. I'm not a fame, like I'm not like a celebrity whore and all that, like just to be a celebrity.
Yeah,
I'm a celebrity,
yeah,
you know, like I'm not in it for that.
Yeah.
I really love the craft of hip hop. I really love it. That's why, like even something as simple as people I have a pet peeve about artists being uncomfortable saying they're MCs and leaving it at that.
Yes.
Like, I know I do a lot of things. I do. I do TV. I do business. I got all kinds of things going on. Yeah, it's true. However, I'm very comfortable if you say this is LL Cool J and he makes rap records.
Yep.
He makes hip hop. Like, I'm good with that. Like, this is not a stepping stone. This is not, it can be a bridge.
Yes.
But this is not like, you know, just like this shit is real.
This shit changed all of our lives.
This shit is real. Like, you don't have to hide behind it and put a tie on and pretend that you're something else.
Yeah.
It's like, yo, this is hip hop. Like, I love this.
Yeah.
Like, when we started Def Jam, I was shot out of a cannon, B. You know, I'm like, oh, yo, we doing this shit.
Exactly.
Like, yo, like, I love this shit. You know, I told my mother, I'm like, Mom, yo, I got a 10-album contract. That sounds sacrilegious
right now.
And then I can hear the trolls now. Oh, you say, they ripped them. I can hear them now, but they don't even know what they're talking about because when you love it, man, you see opportunity.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And when you really, 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 truly take advantage of an opportunity, good shit happens.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
What?
You were the first rapper to get women's love and men's respect at the same time.
On certain, yeah.
Certain things.
Nah, hold on.
I mean, there was a few of them, though. Okay. It was a few dudes. Like, I would say, you know, like, I mean, they weren't as known, but Spoonie G was, you know, very well known with the ladies and, there's levels to the shit.
On a mainstream level,
level, yes. But I will say this. I will say that Houdini definitely, without a doubt.
The light eyes got him. My mother loved all of them.
Ecstasy.
Not just the light eyes. I was in the hotel for the tour. It wasn't just the light eyes guy. Believe me.
Yeah,
I was there. I was there, bro. They was the super fly but you know what, man? Listen, it's not even about comparing yourself, even though it is competitive. It's like, look, I had the benefit of being around a lot of great people, you know what I'm saying? And it just ended up being, I was courageous enough to do what I wanted to do.
Boy, did you do it.
You know what I'm saying?
They don't talk enough about how I would describe, let's say hip hop was a neighborhood, right?
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was rapping in the park.
Right.
Def Jam was the first house in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Right? And that means,
on certain levels.
No,
yeah.
I mean, for us, I can't think of, I mean, you know, of course you knew the Sugar Hill Gang, but that was music. Def Jam was music, culture, people. It was like, you
That's
knew
true.
Who Russ was.
Okay,
you
I
cared
got you.
About it, right? So okay. Def Jam, to me, Def Jam is still the most iconic brand in hip hop history, right? It started with you. Like, you were the first, the way I look at it is like, Leo and them with the parents, you were the first son in the house. Like, the first son that kept
Leo
the
came
on.
Later.
Really? I thought Leo started with you guys.
No. Leo actually came later.
It was Rick Rubin. I'm sorry.
It was Rick Rubin.
Yeah.
Leo was a party promoter.
Yeah.
Right? And very cool. And, you know, then he started road managing Run DMC. And Run and them were on Profile. They were never on Def Jam.
Yeah, exactly.
But it was Rick. But you're right. We were the, you know what I'm saying?
So, so you're the first house. So you were the guy in the house. But then to me, as hip hop grew, because we didn't know what it was in the 80s. Like, nobody knew.
Right.
10-album deal was like, shit, that means I made it if I got the 10 albums, you know
Damn
what I mean?
Right.
It was like, I want 100 albums. That means y'all believe that I'm going to be here for 100 albums. That's
no
what it
doubt.
Meant to us back then.
Yes.
Not understanding the business side of it where it was like, no, nigga, they locking you in because they know you're going to be big and you stuck with them, right? But then at some point in time, like, it started expanding, right? And to me, I feel like, this is my personal take that I just want to tell you, I feel like because you were the first son, the first star, the first prodigy, when it was time for the business, it wasn't like, we didn't see you like that. So I remember vaguely when the president's situation went out, the world said they thought it should have been LL, right? Because he started it, right? I'm just telling you what the world said. I'm giving you my thoughts.
You can skip past, I'll give you my thoughts.
The world felt like that. But then when I hear you talk, even when I hear you talk now, like we didn't really hear LL talk. We heard it, but it wasn't like we hear it now. And I'm listening to you, I'm like, bro, you really get this shit. Like, you need a Rock the Bells University for MCs. Like, I feel like motherfuckers should go to the LL Cool J. Now, I'm for real. If you gave out degrees, because it would mean something, because that means I'm an MC. That almost putting pride in it. But, like, in my opinion, it feel like because you were the first, they didn't think see you as what we see you as someone who is here. And for me, I always wondered, like, did you ever feel like, man, like, I should be that? Because there's nothing people don't talk about. There's nothing that I'm going to say on record. A lot of the guys that came in the 90s were your age.
Yeah.
Like, people act like you were older than them. No, like you was born 68. Jay was born 69. Yeah. Big was born 72. X was born, I think, 71. So these are the guys that you would have went to high school with.
Oh, definitely.
So these ain't guys that you were older with, but because
It's like dog years in
exactly,
rap.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. But because you came when you were 16, it felt like you were the senior, but nah, they was your age. So I always felt like because you were the child prodigy, they never looked at you as like what hip-hop was as far as it is a brand. You are a brand, bro. I wear this hat right now because of you.
Oh, thank you, man.
No, we all fucking do. I mean, anybody say on a regular, we all do. Like, I'm going to tell you a funny story real quick. You got my ass whipped one day when I was like 13. So listen, let me tell you a story real quick. I'm going to find a video. I'm going to find a video.
This is the whole interview shifts. Motherfucker jumped from out of the car. Yo. Hitting me with a pistol. Getting pistol whipped in this motherfucker. I'm sorry.
So watch this. So I was like 13 years old. I got my first Kango, and I wanted to remake I'm Bad video. You know, your parents had a camcorder. So I tell my sister, yo, get the camcorder out. I'm about to do I'm Bad. So I'm on a chair, right? And I do the whole, ah, and I jump up, and my head puts a hole in the ceiling. So, listen, I'm about to tell you. I swear to God, my head puts a hole in the ceiling. And I'm like,
Mama
I'm on the ground.
Not
this, before, this is before America's Home Phone 30 videos. I'm on the phone. So I'm on the ground laying down. Yo. So I'm trying to play it because I'm like, it's on tape. At least my mom think I'm hurt. She ain't going to fuck me up that bad, you know, because it's on tape.
But she ain't going to play.
She got to work it with my ass after me doing that jump off. Yeah. But what I'm saying is just that you were the MC, but we wanted to be like you.
Yeah.
And I feel like you, I feel like because you were the MC, maybe you didn't know it, but like we saw you as that guy. We saw you as the leader of our culture. And it was just always interesting to me that even when you started Rock the Bells, it's like no one looked at him and said, who would be better to talk to?
Yeah.
About an album, about a rollout, about music than you.
Well, you know what it is, man. Maybe a lot of that has to do with just the fact that I've never really promoted myself as a businessman. Mm. I never did. I've never done that. Like, that's not, I've never said to my PR team, yo, paint the picture of me as a businessman.
Yes.
Because, again, I got into it to rhyme on records and to do that. Yeah. And I love that.
Yeah.
And you talked about the president role. I was not looking for a fucking 9-to-5.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Right. Sitting behind a desk talking about Billboard charts. Like, I have zero interest in that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm just not interested in that. Yeah. So that didn't matter. But starting a radio channel or, you know, starting Rock the Bells is different because I get to celebrate these artists and lift them up and make sure that the world celebrates them and at the same time embrace the youth in different ways. Mm-hmm. So that's a different thing.
Yeah.
Even though it's business, it's an extension of what I truly, truly love. I just wasn't interested in having a job. And then on the business end, things worked out great in terms of like the deal and, you know.
You own your masters.
All of that worked out fine. I own my catalog. You know, like it just, you know, it's funny. Everybody has their own path, man.
Yeah.
And you got to be comfortable with that.
Very.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to be comfortable in your own skin. Be like, you know, a lot of these dudes, they want to be seen as businessmen. Okay, cool. Yeah. I mean, I have no problem with that. But, you know, me, I want to make a dope ass verse. I want to make records in every era. I want to thread the needle. Yeah. I want to show people what's possible. Like, yo, you know what I'm saying? Like, like the way Bron is playing at 21 years.
Yep.
Like,
insane.
I'm more interested in that part of the game. Like, the game he makes a lot of money.
Yeah. We know that part, but LeBron he still
doing
loves
a,
it.
I think he can get a cheeseburger. I think he's doing all right. But the thing is, we admire his longevity in the game, the fact that he can keep playing at a high level.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm like. I'm in it for that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm in it for the cultural impact. That gets me off, you know, and I care about it.
Yeah.
I care about that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I really care about that.
Yeah.
And,
because when you talk, you know your shit. Like, some people talk and you like, they should let them talk.
What the hell are they talking
about?
Right.
Because you know, they expose that they don't know. They can look like a boss. But when I was like, this whole weekend, I was just listening to interviews. And I'm like, number one, didn't know you was that funny. Didn't know that. Like, knew that stuff that we knew and didn't know that you you know, you could talk that shit. And it was just like, he was like, yeah, I could do all that, but I want everybody here to know. And when I will out rap, I will out bar. Like, well, that's what it felt like.
I'm going to address that. So, throughout my career, look, man, you know, when we started, man, we didn't have, there were no hip hop managers, really.
Yeah.
Russell was like the only one. Yeah. He was a promoter slash manager. He was a label head. There was no industry. There was no PR. So we didn't have anybody to really look at and say, okay, this is how you have a hip hop career. This is how you do it, right?
Yep.
So I had to look at, who did I have to look at? Mm-hmm. I had to look at ball players. I had to look at athletes. I had to look at this one and that one. And one of the things I noticed, you know, is that, you know, they kept things pretty close to the vest. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And because they kept things close to the vest, I just kind of kept things close to the vest. So my answers may have seemed a little vanilla and a little bit more like, I don't know, like, is he telling, like, I don't know this guy or, you know what I mean?
Yes,
like, not
sure.
As quite, like, living roomish, right?
He was playing the artist role. That, that's what the role you're supposed to play. So that's what
and so what happens is, you know, you fast forward to now, we live in an era now where, you know, people need to just, you know, we need to just talk on this level.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, okay, I'm gonna go ahead and give y'all the real shit and just let y'all just have it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, without being...
I'm glad you're doing that, by the way.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
We need that.
Just give them that. I'm just giving them the candid, transparent shit. You know what I'm saying? And so, that's the difference. Yes. Like, I'm just keeping it 100 with
Not
you. That's
sure.
the difference. You know
Not
what I'm saying?
Sure.
And, you know, it's just like... Because it'd be so much bullshit swirling. You just, at a certain point, you cannot tiptoe through that shit.
No, you,
you got to put your boots on and just stomp through
stomp
some
shit.
Yeah, so.
Stomp through some
that's
shit.
That's what it is.
So I want to ask you, I just had to ask, you brought love into rap.
A lot of it, yeah.
Not a lot of it. The first love song I ever heard.
No, it's true.
Was I Need Love. And by the way, it said love in the song.
Yeah, no question.
It said
it's
I Need a Girl, but you said I Need Love,
no
right?
Doubt.
You brought love into rap.
Yeah.
That's your fingerprint is on that, right?
Yeah.
Period. So I want to ask you, out of everything you did, what is your personal favorite style of music to make for you?
So, okay, here's the thing, right? First of all, and you may have heard me say this before, I make two different types of projects, right? I make cultural albums and I make experimental albums. So when I make the experimental albums, I don't, when I make experimental albums, I don't necessarily think about what people are gonna say when they hear it.
Cause you know you experiment.
Yeah, and most of the time people hate them shits.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I'm just keeping it 100 with you. They hate the fucking album. They, shit is trash. They hate it.
Yeah.
Right? But I do it anyway because I'm a fucking
nut. You're artist.
Okay, I'm nuts. So I'm like, I know you're gonna think this is dog shit. I don't care. All right. So there's that.
Yep.
Then I make cultural albums where I'm like, yo, I'm gonna touch you with this. You know what I'm saying?
For sure.
So, you know, okay. All right, so the love thing, like, it's like I wanted to do what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I wanted to do what I wanted to do, man. And like chicks, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I wasn't gonna let nobody hold me back. You know what I'm saying? There was a part, what was the first part of the question?
I was saying like you brought Love Records in there, but what is your favorite style?
Oh,
like,
my favorite style. Okay, so.
Cause then you can also
spit
bars.
So I was
like,
what I was gonna tell you is that what would happen sometimes with these albums is sometimes, like me personally, I prefer making songs like Il Bomb. I prefer making songs like Rock the Bells, if you want to go further back. Or Doing It, or like, you know, I prefer the harder side of my catalog, quite frankly.
Okay, perfect.
Okay, personally.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to buy a Mobb Deep album before I buy I Need Love.
Yes.
That's me. Like, perfect. I'm just keeping it 100 with you, right? However, sometimes when you're making music, if I don't like the hard records that I'm making, if I don't like the harder edge, if I don't feel that they deliver like I want to deliver, I just don't make them. If this thing is clicking, sometimes you know, it's like this thing, like the muse doesn't like to be observed. If the muse is leading me into this thing, then I'll just go ahead and give it to the world that way.
Yeah.
But that's not.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. What are your self-care non-negotiables? It's hard to make time for the things that keep you healthy, but being consistent with self-care is like working a muscle. And when life gets crazy, that muscle keeps you strong. Therapy is the ultimate self-care, and BetterHelp makes it easy to get started with affordable online sessions you can do from anywhere. Never skip therapy day with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com today to get 10% off your first month.
America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. By honoring your sacred vocation of business, you impact your family, your friends, and your community. At Grand Canyon University, our MBA degree program is 100% online, with emphases in business analytics and finance to help you reach your goals. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Always what I prefer.
Yeah, that's you know what I was asking you as the MC
and
you.
Yep. So like, yeah, so like this album, like the new album, this shit, it's hard.
So I was at your event in LA where you was, you know, it, by the way, it felt like a New York event. It felt like a hip hop event. Like that's why Jack laughing, because you walk in and take the phones and you go in there it was like we was in a pit you were just in there just bar for bar rapping. I was like, you know, oh, he on this shit.
They be wanting to vomit about the phones, don't they?
I liked it though.
They be wanting to vomit. Yeah, give it up. Don't give it up.
Exactly.
But I'm important. Give me the fucking phone, bro. Shit.
Exactly.
You can put your phone down for an hour, man.
Yes, yeah.
You're going to be all right.
But not only that, it made us focus on what you were saying.
Yes.
That's the most important thing. Yes. So now we're listening, and I'm like, oh, no, he ain't playing. Like, he coming back. Like, he coming back with the bars. Like, George Foreman, like, who want to box with me? Who want to get in the ring? So I'm not going to a couple of y'all niggas out right now. You going to come to me, but I'm going to knock your ass out when you get over here. But I was just like, I want to know that for my personal thing, because, you know, you are one of those most diverse artists, right? Like, you can give, like, a round the way girl, but you can give a real bar, and you could do it all.
Yeah.
But I just always wondered, like, what was the shit that you, like, what was the shit you, because I was going to ask you, like, if you said, play one record. If you ask me to play one LL Cool J record, number one, your name is Ladies Love Cool J, right?
Yeah,
so I'm like, Ladies Love. So first thing I'm going to say is, it got to be I Need Love. I might argue I'm bad or, but for you, I want to know, what's the record you like, play that?
I mean, that they would know.
It's not Fuck Them. It's about you. Like, you the
no,
MC.
No, because I got a new album and what I'm
even
saying.
Even if it's on a new album, like, so, what do you want us to hear? Like, you want us to know?
So, I tell you, man, like, doing it is pretty special, man.
Crazy.
That's a pretty special joint.
Crazy.
Joint super, super classic.
That shit is
crazy.
You know what I mean?
Everything about it. Everything about it.
Methods of making love kind of boring. Hey, that shit is like.
The energy, we, go, bro.
Yeah, we all fall one with that. Like, you can't really go wrong with that
shit. Yeah, for
you
me, know, doing it is
crazy. But, I tell you, you know, and people haven't heard it, but the song I got with Saweetie, the Proclivity shit is crazy.
Mm.
I'm telling you,
Proclivity
is like when, you know, I see that joint I got with Saweetie, that shit wild, B. You know, I'm telling you, you hear that joint, you're gonna be like, oh, this shit wild. This is wild, B.
So on the Force album, you have classic artists, but you also have young up and coming, real MCs, right?
Yeah, yeah.
What? First of all, does LL have a wish list where he like, cause I feel like it's nobody who you can't get on a record. So it's like when you write, so because you have the option for the world, what was your thought process curating who you wanted on it and who you felt would work for right now?
Sonics, you know, subject matter and Sonics.
Yeah.
It has to, you know, it's casting.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, this feels right. Like when I did this song with Joe and Ross, it's because I wrote a song, Always Keep Your Word, Always Paying Back. It's hustler vibe. It's all of these things. Yeah. And Ross and Joe embody that.
Yeah.
You know, the joint I did with M, when me and Tip was sitting there and he was messing with the keyboard and he started messing with them fast synths and all that. It's like, yo, this would be me and M could kill us. I'm hitting M up. Yo, you know what I'm saying? Like the spirit of Cyrus when Snoop, it was the synths and so it all just got to make sense.
Yeah.
From that place, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's how I create. And what I'm not interested in doing is, oh, yo, you hot right now. Let's make a record. That's what I'm not doing.
And by the way, that's what I caught.
Yeah.
That's what I love.
Yeah, that's the worst.
Because the thing that I hate when artists, like the thing that I hate that happens in this business is that sometimes we artists forget who they are. Like, oh, yeah. You know what I'm trying? And for me, it's like.
Or dog, never knew.
Or never knew, exactly. It was just in the moment. By the time they knew, it was over. Yeah. The streak is over. It's like, damn, I could have did all of that? Damn. But you, to me, when I'm watching, I'm like,
as they work the register at the gas station. God damn it. I should have just did that fucking remix with LL. God damn it.
When they told me to do I Need Love, I said, that's lame. And the nigga's 30 years later, he's still here. Like, he knows a few of those.
Yo.
By the way, my stepfather was one of those. I ain't going to, it's a whole other story. He used to tell me. They said I was nice as LL back in the day. And I'm like, man, I wish you was nice now, though. You know, so we could be at the projects. But it was good to hear. I took pride in it. But as that's I got love. Older, I got... That's I funny. Got out of it.
Yo, that shit's funny.
I got out of it.
It's funny.
I want to ask you, is there anybody in your list that you're like, man, I want to do a song with them? Even dead or alive, that you like, I wish I would have had a chance or I won a chance. Is there anybody that you have that you want to do a song with? Or a couple of people that you like, you would love to do something with?
That I would love to do a song with?
Yeah. You don't have to wish.
Not really.
Hold on, listen. Ron.
Not really.
He don't have to wish.
Yeah, not really.
Ray, if I woke up beside really. I want to do a song, not they'll really. Do it with me.
Really. I mean, there's artists that it could be probably an event and could be fun.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm not on no cocky Rocky shit. It's just like I'm making the music I want to make. Like, you know, like I thought me and Nas should work together. Like, sure. I got Nas is on the album.
Yeah,
we made a song, right?
Yeah.
So I would have said maybe Nas, but I work with Nas now. You know, it's just like, you know, it's funny, dog. It's just like, it's about inspiration, man. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, it's really about the inspiration. Like, it's a scenario where I could, you know, see maybe, you know, doing something with Rakim, but you know, we're gonna have to intellectually arm wrestle and all that.
Uh-huh.
You know, he's gonna have to break down the molecules for me and all that shit. You know what I mean? He's gonna start with his molecule shit. You know what I mean? That's my man, though. I love him.
I gotta ask you a question. You just
laughing right now.
You just
like, what's up, Rock?
You just inspired the question. I have to ask you. In your era, you ran eras. There was not an era where you was doing it where you weren't at the top.
Yeah.
Who in every era, in the 80s, the 90s, and you would say the 2000s, who would you say, who were you looking at like he killing it?
Oh, like, bro. Like, I mean, come on. All of them. I mean, there was so, first of all, the 80s and 90s were much more, much more is the wrong word because that's disrespectful. It was a different type of competitiveness.
Yes.
Okay? A different kind is a better word than much more.
Yep.
Because, see, the one thing about the internet is, yes, it's competitive. That's true. However, your fans can kind of find you and exist in your world and your world only.
Yep.
Right? So that kind of, which
it
is different,
everything.
Which is different from there being a world where you are forced to fight for space.
It's 40 spots on radio and you got to get one of those spots.
When you got to fight for space, it's different from when, like, cause everybody can, I saw a clip, Offset, you know, that's my man.
Yeah.
I saw him performing in Belgium. I'm like, you don't have to, like, it's different now. You know what I'm saying? Like, I literally, you know, like I walk into a program director's office, right? They're looking at us, rap nigga. He got his gaiters on and shit. He got his fucking cameo playing in the Cadillac. You know what I mean?
He was in the South somewhere. Oh, yeah. He was in the South.
We're considering playing your song, buddy. Right? You know, all that old shit. And it's just like, we had to really deal with a different type of—
a gatekeeper.
Entry barriers to entry. So— That's a big game changer, man.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like people may not see that as a big game changer, but like I put it to you example, like Soulja Boy.
Yep.
You right? Like Soulja got a whole career. I respect Soulja.
For sure.
You know what I'm saying? He got a whole career. I'm the first rapper to say he respects Soulja. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just fucking
got him. You are. You gonna take that shit. L-O-Q-J said
Yo, Soulja, I'm just playing, bro.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want no problems, bro.
Exactly.
Right? So, but you look at Soulja, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like his career isn't possible when we started.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Like when we started, he couldn't have the, now he has a career, he has a life, you know, he has fans, you know what I'm saying? He's able to go do shows, he's able to do his thing.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? So that, you gotta respect that.
Yeah.
So it's a different world in that regard. It's like, it's kind of like, it's like, it's like everybody can play in the NBA.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's like if you can bounce a ball, you can play in the NBA.
Yep. Yep.
Whereas, you know what I mean? Imagine a world like that.
Yeah.
That's what hip hop is like now. The only difference is now is what happens is when you listen to a song like mine with passion, mm-hmm. and you really listen to it, and after you get over the shock of it not sounding like what's going on, you realize you're like, wait a minute, this motherfucker could really rap.
Yep.
You know, like you listen to some songs and you're like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Like you start A, B and shit, you're like, God damn. Like you hear the difference because everybody can play in the league now.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the difference. You understand what I'm saying? So Rakim, Run DMC, first of all, like to answer your question, Run DMC. I mean, live, you know, you had to be there, but
nothing sonically felt like that.
It was like
crazy.
It was like getting struck by lightning with a metal suit on. You know what I mean? Shit was bananas. You know what I'm saying? This shit was, you know what I mean? Yes. Shit was crazy,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So then Rakim, he comes out. It's just like, it was like a motherfucker was chasing me around with a saxophone. I couldn't get away from
like,
it. I came
that?
In the door. I said, and I loved it, right? Big Daddy Kane, who, you know, was like my favorite. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the bars, the way he would put his stuff together. Public Enemy, you know, Chuck D's voice.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The Welcome to the Terror Dome. The messages.
Yeah.
The stuff he talked about. Uzi weighs a ton. Like, I mean, all of that. So... Man, them eras was like completely different. And then even moving forward, hearing all the other artists, Biggie and Jay and all these different guys, like it was a whole different world.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like it was, but now here's the beauty of it. Now the artists, and especially the ones that really love the craft, their intellect is truly on display.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the difference. See. Mm. People, you know, I think a lot of times these guys that start early, they don't know how to fucking give it up for the young
Come
boys,
on.
Man. They got to cut that shit out,
Come
man.
Come on.
The young boys, like, they're smart. Like, I mean, the fact, it just cracks me up that Kendrick put all them signs on homie's fucking house.
Yes.
Like this shit is crazy. This is like, this ain't got nothing to do with nothing, but it's the funniest shit in the world. Like, it's bananas.
Yes.
And like that kind of thinking... Like, you have to respect that. Like, you got to say, well, this is a smart little motherfucker. This shit is crazy.
Exactly.
It's bananas. So they're thinking, is the late. It's like when I got out of the car, I was joking with the, you know, with the teams, with the cameras.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the camera's on. But what I'm really thinking is that this generation, they think on a much more multi-layered. The thinking is far more layered.
Yeah.
See, the thinking used to be kind of like, back in the days, it was, okay, you do the song. That was it.
Yep.
Then it transitioned to you do the song and you do the video.
Yep.
Right? Now it transitions to you do the song, you do the video, you have a brand, you do a book, you have the movie, you have the music, you monetize it, you have a platform.
Yep.
You have it, like the layering of the thought process is completely different. You'll have a girl on the corner, she'll do one bar with a mic hanging down, and goddamn it, she's starting a whole empire off of that.
Right there.
In her thinking.
Right there.
Right?
Yep.
So that's why... That's why it's very important for established artists to pay attention to the youth and pay attention to what young artists, how they're thinking and how they're approaching it. These dudes like you got to get up off of that shit.
Yeah.
Like if I'm a basketball player and I'm sitting in the crowd, I'm looking at Kyrie's handle. I'm like, oh, okay. Shit, I'm looking at Caitlin Clark. I'm like, okay, oh, you put her on her knee. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at everybody. I'm looking at everything. I'm saying, okay. I see, oh, Lil Baby, you did some political shit. Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Because they would have tried to just label you as a mumble dude, but you said, fuck that.
I'm more than
that. Oh, you sharp. You doing math on the goddamn IG, doing math when you're doing the jewelry and all. Like, I'm peeping all that shit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at everything and saying, these guys, I'm respecting the culture and the community. And you gotta do that. You gotta be open. You know what I mean? So that's what I would say. So it just went from there, you know? And then, so now it's like the competition is different.
Speaking of competition, you went through battles and like war.
Oh, yes.
Who was the person that you said, who gave you the battle that you feel like was the one that once you got through, because you never lost one.
No.
Never lost.
You never lost one.
Right.
Who gave it to you?
Well,
it makes me laugh. That's all right. That's all right. Well,
you know what it reminds me of? Remember that interview with Charlamagne with the I forget my man, the comedian, the white dude, and he was like, you know, and he was like, he was like,
Yeah, exactly. Gary
Owen. Yo, it's funny. Crazy. I like that dude. Yeah. I like the comedian. He's funny. Sure. I don't know his name, but anyway.
Gary Owen.
I like him. Anyway, look, I would say out of all of them, probably cannabis, because, you know, it was a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
And I was a little more disconnected.
Yes.
So it made it way more difficult.
Yes, yes.
You know, it's like, you know, the fucking, it's like one of the Rocky movies when he's driving through the tunnel with the fucking Rolls Royce. He's like fucking, you know, and his feet having flashbacks and shit.
Yeah.
He's fucking riding. And this motherfucker got a lot of more. Got this Mr. T motherfucker over here rapping out the basement.
Yeah.
And he's fucking riding. It's like that kind of shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it was like, that was the vibe. So it was him, but it was more about, look, I was doing sitcoms and shit. Like I was, you know what I'm saying? Like I'm like
a whole other space.
He's rapping at my ears, biting at my calf muscle. I'm over here doing sitcoms and shit. I'm like, yo, this shit is crazy right now. This motherfucker fucking with me, bothering me in the middle of the night. People asking me,
Mike Tyson, you know, running me and saying, like, what are we doing?
And you know, our culture is crazy because they won't leave you alone about this shit. Uh-huh. Yeah, what you gonna do? You see your man.
Yeah.
What you gonna do about your man? Yo, you just got to deal with this shit, right? So I would say cannabis. I would say him. And, you know, I wish him the best with everything.
Nah, but for sure, I imagine that. So listen, we don't have a lot of time. I got a couple more questions. So
we're
not going to play the cut game, but I want to ask you, we have a segment called Credit Check, right? And to me, you know, people always say give people their flowers. That's great. But what we like to do is give people their credit, right? So like for us, it's like we give people like yourself a chance to shout out two to three unsung heroes in the LL Cool J story that you just feel like deserves some credit right now, you want to shout out.
Okay.
Who would that be for you?
So, my man Silver Fox.
Okay.
Silver Fox from Harlem, Grant Projects. I knew how to rap, but it was like, you know, I use metaphors. It was the equivalent of having an older ball player from the street show you more stuff. Show you more handles.
Yeah.
Show you how to body somebody, box out. Show you how to shoot from the elbow. Show you how to go to the corner. Show you how, you know what I'm saying?
Beyond the basics.
Pick and roll, like, but get you good. So I would say Silver Fox. I would say, Bill Adler, who was my first publicist and the first Def Jam publicist, who kind of taught me the importance of just press and doing it the right way and doing interviews. Like I be over in London and I ain't understand their human shit and they ask me a question, I'm mad, I'm tight. I'm tight as a drum, I'm upset.
Yeah.
I used to be mad in interviews and shit, getting pissed off,
exactly.
Thinking they trying to disrespect me. You know what I mean?
Like, I know that
the
is.
Shit was funny as hell. Like they might ask you some shit like,
what the fuck you asked me that for?
You know, it reminds me of that. What's that girl, that lady, the Bobby girl with the young?
Yeah, Bobby Altanov. Like,
with the young female, young black girl. I forgot her name. The young.
Sukiana.
Yeah, and she was talking and she was just like, fuck you mean? And they was like going back. I was like that. Everything was like that.
You're not understanding what I'm saying. No, I understand exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, all that
don't play with me.
So why do you rap? What do you mean, why do I rap?
Yeah.
What kind of fucking question is that? You know, like this. So it was that. So Bill Adler. And then I would say,
what's good, everybody? This is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Culture Referee. And if you were wondering who this beautiful woman sitting next to me is my sister, Tiffany Daniels Sy. Let's give it up for my sister. Everybody can clap. This is good. And my sister she's the most talented person in the family. And we started a family business, a signature scent company. So if you like smoke a lot of weed in your car and you want to get the scent out, you have to check out these scents. I know guys that use it for the weed. I know people that use it for cologne and everywhere they go to get compliments. We make candles. We make
room sprays. We got them in kits. So if you want to buy something for your loved one or anybody, you know, that you care about, hit us up, LorraineCo.com.
And we're going to put the website at the bottom of it. But support this black business, support this black woman, and order, I promise you guys. As a matter of fact, use the word gods, and we'll give you 15% off. I just made that up, so if my sister's face looks crazy, don't get mad at her. I'll eat that. But guys, when I tell you this shit is incredible, you really should check this out.
The best scents ever.
LaRayCo.com. And we'll put it at the bottom of the screen. Thank you.
Thanks.
Man. I mean, after that, man, there's so many people, but I would say, like,
one good one.
Yeah. I mean, after that, man, it just...
It's two or three. That's good. That's good.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so so this is the God Show.
Okay.
Matter of fact, I want to play one round of cut. I just want to ask him because he's there.
All right.
I know. I respect. I got respect. You better know that.
I got a second. Go ahead.
I got you. I'm going to ask you. So we do this thing called making a cut where we give you three options, right? And okay. I got three options I want to ask you.
All right.
And if you pick the option, you got to pick one to sign, right, one to develop, and one you're going to cut. But you have to say I'm cutting it. If you don't say you cut it, you got to donate $20 to the kids. All right.
Ouch. Out. Yeah, okay.
Some nigga be like, what, nigga?
Yo, I got to keep it real. You got to up that number.
No.
That $20 shit's out.
You know, now, if I do it,
we got to work on that.
LL Cool J said it. I don't want to hear nothing.
Look, let's cut this shit. We got to work on that $20.
I got you.
Yeah, we got to work on that.
You know, we try to make it fun.
Go ahead.
80s era of rap, 90s era of rap, 2000s, going into the 2010 era rap. Which one do you sign? Which one do you develop? Which one do you cut?
You say sign, develop, or cut?
It's basically which one do you want? Which one do you feel like needs a little work? And which one are you like, I'm not gonna fuck that at all.
But what's crazy is it all lines up exactly how you laid it out.
You're gonna sign the 80s,
you're gonna develop the 90s, you're gonna cut the fucking 210. You're cutting that shit, B. That shit getting cut, B.
Yeah.
Nasty, B. It's cold world, baby. It's cold world, bro.
That's
2010, that's nasty. It's getting cut. I guess head sprung might be the fuck it. Head sprung. That shit out of here.
Okay, a couple seconds.
That shit out of here, B.
I'm going to ask you, what is your favorite, personal favorite record that you heard? Because you know how this is. You're very conscious. I love that. You're like, I know when I'm experimenting, I know I'm in my bag.
Right.
What was a record that you said, as soon as this come out, you knew, out of here?
You know what's funny, man? I'm going to keep it very real with you. I've never known that.
Really?
No.
Because I'm not going to lie,
I've never known that. Because you know why? Like, every time I think I know, surprise, surprise, you don't fucking know. That lady comes busting through the door with a surprise song.
Yes.
It's like, you don't know.
I ain't going to lie, I feel like the older stuff, I was a kid, but as when I was in the music business, when you dropped Love You Better,
it felt right.
The whole world stopped and they said, that was the one time that people called and said, he back. And I'm like, he back? They was like, no, nigga, six pack out, shirt, like, he's up.
Yeah.
So for me, I feel like Love You Better was the...
That was a good moment. That was a great moment.
Because it was instant. It was like, it was like...
It was a great moment.
Man.
But, you know, the thing is also, the question becomes, what kind of music are you trying to put out, right? Like, so that's a song that was still the era of radio.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so... You know, when radio really dominated hip hop, radio doesn't dominate music anymore. It's still a big part of music and we still love it. When we're in the car, maybe we listen, but everybody's binging everything, right? Like you listen to an album, the reason why albums last a certain time now is because you're gonna listen to your favorite album 900 times in a half an hour and you finish. like motherfuckers, like they binge this shit. Like you used to get like piecemeal the albums and you could kind of live with it. So, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Nah, it does. I just was wondering. Like,
So what I was gonna say is, like right now, if I was looking for just the pure commercial impact, I have other songs on my album that are far more like, quote unquote, commercial. So not that I aimed for that, but I do have songs that are.
You know the difference.
100%.
For sure.
I did not put out songs that where I didn't need to.
Yeah.
See, a lot of those songs that I put out back in the days, I had to put out Around the Way Girl. I had to put out these certain songs because the radio would not allow us to do anything else. Mm. They were not going to play certain things. Mm-hmm. So we had to make adjustments.
Go back to the gatekeeper thing you said.
We had
to kill that dude in the alligator shoes and the
100%.
Cigar. I got to make sure he likes it for me to eat. Yeah?
Right. So like Saturday Night Special with Ross and Joe, that would be an album cut, right? And Passion, that people, that would be an album cut. But that's the shit I like.
Yeah, me too.
So now I can put it out. People get exposed to it, and then, you know, ultimately they will hear other things, and they will hear, you know, some things that are a little bit more, you know, but you feel what I'm saying?
Last question.
Yeah.
because I know I want. I got to get this out, and I'm actually say something to whoever's the publicist, Def Jam. I'm gonna say something. We need to get the word the way, because LL does not get, in my opinion, the credit for the word GOAT the way Lil Wayne gets credit for the word bling, right? In a way, they celebrate it. Mm-hmm. No, seriously.
Yeah.
Seriously, you created the term GOAT, and I feel like, so we saying kids out there, Michael Jordan's the GOAT. Me and my son argue all day, 15. Man, LeBron's the GOAT. I'm like, we don't have the word the GOAT.
Yeah.
Without this man next to you. So I want to clap for that, Rook. I got to do that. We got to find a way to put that into, it's already in the zeitgeist, but we have, to find a way to put it on paper where they know it's you. That's the first thing. But the last question I ask, which I got to ask because it's on there, this is the God Show, which is an acronym for GOATs and underdogs.
Right.
What do you consider yourself?
Both.
I was praying he's going to say the mother. But okay.
Nah, but let me tell you why. Okay. Let me tell you why. Because I'm doing something that hasn't been done before, right?
Yes.
Like, you know, this is my 40th year and I'm relevant.
As a fuck.
Can we clap for that, ladies and gentlemen, please?
I mean, you know, that's like,
who has 40-year runs not named Michael Jackson?
That's some different shit, that's bro. Different. Like, when you 40 in and you're like, yo, the new shit coming, and people are like, yo, I actually want to hear that.
Yeah. But you know, I'm gonna say one thing though. The thing I like that you did was, when I always talk to rappers who are like not like babies, like 20s, I'm always like, rap is about messaging, it's about affirmations. It's what it's built on. From I'm bad to I got it made. Like, it was tough that we could say to make us feel good.
That's
right?
That's true. That was a great observation.
Thank you. Yeah. So when I heard your song, always keep your word, and I'm like, that's an affirmation that a father would say to his son.
Definitely.
And that's why I liked it. So when I heard it, that's what actually excited me, because I'm like, you could have came back and tried to, but nah, you gave us grown man rap.
So let me expand on that before I bounce. I'll tell you this, man. Listen, it's okay to talk about paper. It's okay to talk about success. There's nothing wrong with that. That being said, there's got to be more to us than that.
Yep.
We can't be that one dimensional.
Yep.
You know, it's at a certain point, it's like, nigga, we know you rich.
Yeah.
We know you got money, B. Yeah. Like, can you please, please talk about something else? Like, for the love of God, I like your plane.
Yes.
It's great.
Yes.
Could you please just talk about something else?
Yes.
It's kind of like the dating world where, you know, the guys that got money, they sit across from the girl and he's still a cornball.
Yeah.
Yes.
And she's like, I got a free dinner. He's a fucking cornball.
Exactly.
I like the guy, the mechanic down the block. He just don't, but, you know,
he ain't got,
but
I'm going to go.
Oh, but she's doubling back.
She doubling
that's
back.
A whole nother conversation.
Yeah, that's a whole nother conversation.
Yeah. But this cornball, he got money and that's it.
Yeah.
So it's like, with the music, it's kind of like that.
Yep.
It's like, there's a certain point where you talk about the money, you're underdog, you're doing all that. And then there's a point where it's like, okay, now, tell us something else. We don't mind you flossing. We know that's our culture. You can have a car. We get it.
Yeah.
Be fly. But give me something else to... You know, give me some other shit to work with, bro.
By the way,
you know, and so that's the thing.
Speaking of giving you something, first of all, let me just say this. You are the GOAT. You're not the GOAT. You're not a GOAT. You are the GOAT. We don't get GOAT without you. That's the first thing.
That's true.
So this is now considered the LLC, right? So if anybody comes from now on, they sit in the LLC.
Yo, everybody ain't going to be happy to hear that.
I don't give a fuck. Listen, they can't say they the GOAT or whatever because you gave us the term.
Yeah, I made it up. Yeah,
and you know, bro, like, this is like you don't... I've been in the music business 20 years. I had a lot of success. I love it. But this is my first time going out on my own trying to do something different. And you know how it is.
I do.
You've pivoted a few times, right?
Lots.
King pivot, by the way, right?
Yep.
Which I want, I got you.
Yeah.
And for me, man, I just want to tell you, thank you for doing the show, bro. Nah, seriously. And as a thank you from the God Show, one of our sponsors is this company called Tote & Carry. And I mean, look, I know you got the money, it's nothing. I get it all. And one of our sponsors is also Lareco. That's my sister's company that she makes sense. I'm gonna give that to you. But I just want to gift you something, man.
All right.
Because, man, we really appreciate
you. Thank you.
And I know sometimes you know, you sit with people, but this shit made my year.
It's my
pleasure.
It
didn't make my day, bro.
Year.
It made my year.
I'm happy to do it, man.
You
happy
did, bro, because when Ron told me it was an option, and then Natina walked up to me and said, LL gonna do your show. I was eating, bro. No bullshit. We was at the YouTube dinner. I'm eating. Yeah. And she was like, did I tell him to get LL to do your show? I said, you lying. She said, yeah, I got... Then she was like, I said, I got to tell him. She said, you need to come meet him. I'm like, I'm meeting him now? Like, bro, I was so excited, bro.
Not
real
that.
Talk,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah.
So I just want to give you something. Let me just grab this real quick.
Okay.
Right next to you.
I love it, man. That's a good vibe.
Man, listen, man. So this is My Sister Makes Sense, man. And this is all made at home, man.
Okay.
We wrote you a letter. I want to give you
dope.
That. And then, you know, I'm going to do something for you. Not that you need it, but.
Dope.
Hey, man. I just want to get you my bag set.
Thank you. Any money in these motherfuckers? Are they fucking money? You know, you know, I made up.
I wish it was some money in there.
Since I made up the term goat, stuff these motherfuckers.
Listen. So I just want to give you that, man, because, bro, like, you are
thank you.
One of our heroes, thank one of my brother. Heroes. I could tell you so many stories. I remember being in the bed, grandma's house in Webster Projects, and you performing at the Apollo, and all of the girls in the family waited. Remember that, Tiffany? Everybody waited up for you to come on, and the girls went to sleep because you came on late. And I said, low under my breath, LL Cool J about to perform. My cousin, Naughty Lisa, everybody jumped like, oh, hello. And it was like, I ain't never seen no shit like that, bro. Nobody has that. And I just want to tell you, man, you are the GOAT. We celebrate you. And you are that motherfucking nigga.
Thank you, bro.
And we love you, my nigga. Thank you for doing the show.
I appreciate you, bro.
And shout out to our sponsors. Shout out to everybody doing it. Shout out to Def Jam. This is The Guy Show. We are out.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.